some of the misconceptions that we can have sometimes, I think Thomas touched on that last week as well, is some of them, he said, sometimes we feel that God is in love with the future version of us. I think someone mentioned that last week when it was, if you were here last week. And sometimes we can think that way, that I'm not good enough. I'm not there yet with all of those things that's happened in my life. So I know one day that's then God will do what, no. Have you put your faith in Christ? Have you given your life to Christ? No matter what you're going through or what's going on in your life right now, everything is available to you as a child of God. It's by faith, not by works. So for us to be efficient and to be effective believers, effective body of Christ, we need to have proper understanding of what God has done. So the passage we're looking into this morning, which is, it's titled Every Spiritual Blessing. So we're looking at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 14. So if you do have your Bible with you, please open with me to that, or your for phones or tablets, whatever you, and it will be displayed on the screen behind me as well. So if you want to read along with me. So from verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we have also chosen, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance unto the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." There are a lot of praises there. I don't know if you noticed, there were quite a lot of times you think about, he talks about sin and he talks about praise. And he finished on that as well, said to the praise of his glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, we would like to hear from you. Yeah, they might just hear my voice speaking, but Lord, would you speak through me? Would you open hearts this morning? Give us understanding that we may truly know that which you're speaking to us as a church, and that we may truly understand who we are in Christ Jesus. All that you have done and all that you made available to us, Lord. That there will be deep understanding of this, Lord. And therefore, Lord, we know exactly what to do and how to act based on this understanding. Lord, would you flow by your Holy Spirit, we pray, even this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, who are we? That's the question. Who are we in Christ Jesus? I'm talking about the body of Christ for everyone who is born again, who has put their hope and their faith in Christ. If that's you this morning, who do you know yourself to be? Collectively, as a church, and as individual as well, in Christ Jesus. Born again. I think Thomas mentioned that word again last week, because I listened to the preach. What does it mean to be born again? In John chapter 3, Nicodemus, who is not just a Pharisee, but also a member of the Jewish ruling council at the time, came to Jesus at night under the cover of darkness. He didn't want anybody to see, because the Pharisees were meant to be those that were in charge, that knew the words. But he noticed that there's something about this Jesus. That this Jesus has got something tangible, something real, something that is life. So he came. Obviously, pride comes in. That's why he came at night. And then he came to Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to him, he said, no man or no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And Nicodemus replied, how can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. And Jesus tried to explain to him. He said, flesh gives birth to flesh, and spirit gives birth to spirit. Which means what Jesus was talking about was a spiritual birth, a total transformation of the mindset. The question now is, what exactly has God done for us? Because this transformation is done by God through Jesus Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit. So what exactly is this that God has done, that once we put our faith in him, we lay hold of and we have it as well? A lot of us know why Christ did what he did for us. Even those unbelievers know that. It's the most popular verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So we know, because God loved us, that's why he did it. Which is the right thing for a lot of people to actually know, because then when you come in, then you get to know, you get to meet God, and then you begin to explore, by the help of the Holy Spirit, the reason why God has done and what he has exactly done for us. Some of us know that obviously Christ did it because he saw our helplessness, that we couldn't do anything of our own accord, and because he wants us to have a relationship with him, which is for our own good anyway. But a lot of us struggle with having a full grasp of what precisely that God has done, or to fully comprehend what he has done for us, and to translate that to who we are in him as a church and as individual. And this is what Paul is addressing in this Ephesians, for us to fully grasp that and truly understand it, so that we can stand confidently and boldly with everything we're doing, knowing who we are in Christ Jesus, no matter what we're going through, no matter what the world throws at us or the enemy tries to put in our way. We shift not, because we do know. And Paul went through all sorts of trials. We know that. But in it all, he stood firm, because he knew who he was in Christ Jesus. He knew who he was as part of the body of Christ. That no matter what is going on, I know where I stand. So we, and I pray that we indeed grasp that this morning as well. That no matter as we face and life throws all sort of things at us, we do know where we stand and where we are. So, the first thing I'd like us to talk about as part of who we are is verse 3 that we just read, that we are blessed in Christ. We, as a church of God, as a child of the living God, we are blessed. The verse 3 of that, of what we started with, says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every, not some, every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's amazing. But before we talk about that blessing, I actually want to start with the way Paul started this. He couldn't talk about blessing without praising God. The first thing he said, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, every time I think about what Christ has done, what God has done, I cannot but burst into praise. I can't tell about this blessing without me praising God. He said, praise be to the Lord God of our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with heavenly realm. And that is, even us as Christians, what we should always do. Every time we think about what Christ has done, we should just go, what shall we do? We shall give up. With praise and worship to this Father who's done marvelous things for us. And I think we can do much that. We're going to come back, like Thomas mentioned already, into praise. at the end of this preaching. Because that's what we should do. You know, we shouldn't be in worship and then we're just worshiping God and then we're chatting. No, no. For me personally, obviously we all different, we go through, I think it's disrespectful. You can't expect me to be chatting with you. And then somebody is coming and I'm just chatting, you feel offended. But when we come into the presence of God to worship Him, sometimes we do that. And we think, well, God understands. Yes, He understands His love, but He is God at the same time. If we as individuals will feel offended when people do that to us, then we shouldn't. When we're facing God, when we're coming here, I've come to praise God with all of my heart, without any distraction. I am here for God. And I say this quite often to a lot of times. When we come to church, the only time we give really to God is praise and worship. Everything we're receiving. Word, we're receiving. Everything. The only thing, when we come on a Sunday, that we can actually do for God and just say, Lord, out of what you've done for me, I give this back to you, is when we worship and praise Him. But most of the time, that's when we all chat or we have a cup of coffee. No. Every part of service is very important. And that's what Paul is doing here. He wants to talk about what Christ has done for us and he busts into praise. So the other thing as well that we should notice as well is the word that he used. He said, who has blessed us? So this is not talking about a future promise. He's saying, we have it now. Are you born again? Then you have the blessing of God. Not that you will have it. No. The minute you put, because that's what Christ has done. That's the finished work of the cross. He's done it. But we need to now appropriate it. Lay hold of that which Christ has done. And we do it by faith. We've come to Him. Yes, thank you, Lord. But that means everything that is available is ours. But if we do not lay hold of it, then we will suffer in silence. God is saying, I've done it. It is finished. But we are not taking hold of it. So He said we are blessed in the heavenly realms. It means everything that the Spirit has got to offer, the Holy Spirit, is ours. Everything in heaven. Thomas said it. We are aliens here. Our home. Or should I even use the word? We are ambassadors here. Our home office is in heaven. So therefore we can appropriate everything from that home office when we need it here, because we do not belong to this world. So that is what it means to be blessed with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. As an example, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 56:53, when he was being arrested and he was about to take him to the cross, and then people were like, the disciples were like, no, that can't happen. One of them actually cut off the ear of one of them and he put it back in. And he said, don't worry, if I want to do something now, I've got all the authority. But that's not the plan. And so therefore he said, do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? He said, I could do that, but that's not the plan here. He was saying, remember, he was without sin. So therefore, the things he's made available to us now, he had authority and he had access to them at the time, and that's what he was saying. He said, I can demand from the spirit realm this legion for God to move, for the angels to move on my behalf. But that is not the plan. Does anyone like the Spider-Man franchise? Yeah. No, I do. I do. I like a bit of Marvel. I watch a bit of Iron Man and all of that. In Spider-Man 3, you might see where Spider-Man, the character, was actually given the keys to the city because of some outstanding work he has done. The lives he saved, how he's protected the city. And so therefore, for that reason, he was honored with that, to the keys, which means he has access to that city and he has authority in that city. This is what Christ has done for us. Giving someone the key is an immense privilege, and it symbolizes access and authority. In Revelation, now before we get to Revelation, Jesus said in Revelation 1 and 8, Jesus said, I am the living one. I was dead. Now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. So Jesus is revealing to us that he has the key to both life and to death. And amazingly, Jesus gives to his disciples these keys. And that is us, his disciples. The keys to the kingdom of heaven. Not because of any outstanding work that we have done. No. But because he loves us. And that's the reason why he did what he did. That's why he went to the cross. And after defeating and having the keys to life and death, and I said, now, for everyone who puts their trust in me, this is your blessing. The keys to the heavens. And that's why Paul can write here that God is made available to us everything that we have, that we need in the spiritual realms. He loves us, and he has called us to himself before the foundation of the world, which is again written in this passage. We're going to look at that as well. But in Matthew 16:19, we see how God actually gave it to us. He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He was handing the keys over to us. As a child of God, if you have put your trust in him, that is what we have. It's available to us. It's what Christ has done for us. Not because we deserve it. Not because we did anything to actually earn it. No. Because he loves us. A lot of Christians sometimes feel very powerless, lacking in spiritual authority because of lack of understanding of what Christ has done and what he's given us. And so it goes back to where we started. You know what I mean? It's not the Bible, but yeah. Get into the Word of God. Get into the Word of God more and more. The more time you spend there, the more you believe and you trust more, and the more the things of the world that's trying to distract you goes all the way down to the bottom. God was saying to Joshua 1:8. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate therein day and night. Then you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. He's saying, for us to be able to be effective as bodies of Christ, to do the things God has called us to do, we need to hear more and be close to him more and more. So we know exactly where he's leading and how he's leading us and what he wants us to do and what he wants us to turn back away from. But a lot of us, yeah, I'm a Christian. When was the last time you read the Bible? Oh, I can't remember. So who is your king then? The one you listen to most is your king. If he's your king, then that means we should be in there more and more. I'm not saying it's easy. Obviously, there are lives, the things happen in life. I'm part of it too. I feel it. I know sometimes when I get a Bible. But we have to war at this thing because we have prioritized and we know that for me, this is very important. Therefore, I need to make sure no matter what happens, I'm fighting to keep this relationship going because that is me. That is my life. Somebody was saying earlier on, I said, well, we're talking about priority. I said, we're just going to prioritize things. He said, well, I've gotten to the point where I'm actually prioritizing my priorities. I said, well, yeah, I get that. When you've done a lot of priority, but you're like, oh. But yeah, let's try and prioritize what God has called us to do. So to be given the keys of heaven is to be given access to God. It's God. He's in heaven. That means we have free access to him. Now, we're talking about the maker of the heaven and the earth, the creator of it all, the one who says, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Now, we have access to him. Now, then we have everything. We do have everything. And that's what God has done for us. So everything we need to fulfill the plan and the purpose of the one who chose us and called us is at our disposal. That's what it means to be blessed. The principles to follow to appropriate this thing sometimes is sometimes what we struggle with. There are principles, because God is a God of order. And sometimes discipline, which I've kind of talked about as well. Discipline to make sure things, but again, it is for our own good. That God is calling us to do these things. Now, let's read how God came about giving this authority to his disciples. It was a discussion that kind of ensued between Jesus Christ and his disciples in that same Matthew chapter 6, chapter 16. And Jesus, you know, it says in verse 13 of that, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say I am? And all the disciples, he said, the disciples answered and said, some say you are Elijah, some say you're the prophet. But then he now turned around and said, well, okay, that's fine. That's just the people. But you are my disciples. Do you know? He said, who do you think I am? This time around, only Simon Peter answered. And he said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And it was within this context that Jesus now said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades would not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It was based on faith. It was based on faith. And these keys that was given to Peter, we saw Peter using it to open 3,000 lives in Acts chapter 2 when he spoke and 3,000 people gave their life. And many more in the Bible where Peter, obviously, the authority he had in Christ Jesus, just spoke the word of God, teaching other people, and God walked through that by the Holy Spirit and people give their life. And I hope there's anyone here today who has not made that decision yet, that God will open your heart for you to make that decision to say, Lord, now I know I would like to follow you, Lord. I pray so in the name of Jesus. But it is not only Simon Peter that God gives these keys to. It's to everyone who's put their faith in him. And that means you and I. Absolutely. And you can only demonstrate this rock-like faith that Simon Peter did if you've been feasting on the good news of God. Back to what we've been saying. So we need to feed, because that is how our faith is built up. Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. That is how faith is built. The more we hear the word of God, the more the faith is built. The more we do extraordinary things, the more we go out and say, Lord, we pray, and then we see God answer, like Wendy just shared. And then things happen, and then we go, and I want to be a part of that, because we know the calling that we have, because we've dwelled so much in the word of God. So, but we should know that this is an extraordinary privilege that God has given us access to heaven, to God, to himself, and to everything that's available. And it is a privilege and it's a responsibility for us and to us as a church. Free access to God and heaven and is all and what God has got to offer. So it means we are of much worth. So in case there's anyone thinking, going through things in life, thinking for God to decide to give you all of that, for him to lay his life down, I think Barbara shared that. He said, for the joy that was set before him. What's the joy that was set before you? You and I. He endured the cross because he knows we were going to come to Christ and we're going to walk in that power and authority and in that which is called us. And said, for that sake, I will endure this cross. Oh, for the sake of Allah, I'm going to stay here. Even though he was a Muslim, I know his heart will... Oh, come on, Lord. Thank you, Father. You see, God does great things. He's seen... That's why he's the Alpha and the Omega. He sees ahead and he sees... And for that reason. So you are of much worth. Every single one of us, yeah? I don't know what you're going through in life. I don't know how you feel, or what anybody makes you feel. You are of much, much worth. Your identity and your hope does not come from your circumstances or achievements, but it comes from Christ. He would lay his life down for you and give you access to heaven and all that heaven has got to offer. The other thing we're going to talk about, what God has done for us, is you are chosen and you are adopted. Verse 4 to 6 of that same passage you've just read. It says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy, us holy, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." So, Paul is letting us know here that God chose you even before the foundation of the world. Thomas was alluding to this morning. Before the very foundation, before the, if you know your Bible, Genesis chapter 1, and you say, "And the earth was void, darkness all over the place, and the Spirit of God was hovering over." Before all of that, God knew you. He had a plan for you. A lot of us go to, but even though the Adam and Eve fell. Before that, God knew he had a plan for you. He knew they were going to fall. Come on now. For me, why wouldn't that make me burst into praise of this God? So Paul tells us that God chose us before the foundation of the world and adopted us as his children. It means we are not an accident. This is not accidental. It's based, and it's not based on performance. Because at the time God chose you, you didn't even know anything about performance. This is deeply rooted in love. And that's what God has done for you. That's how much God loves you. That's how much importance God has put in you. Before the world was created, God knew you, and he had decided that no matter what the enemy does, no matter the temptation or distractions, you are going to be his. Because he chose you. Because he loves you regardless of your sins or whatever you've got going right now in your life. God chose you. God knew you. God called you. But does that now mean, to balance that because God has worked all of these out, it's predestined, so we do nothing? I would say, well, it's going to happen anyway. God chose me so I can live my life the way I want to live my life, believe anyhow. Of course not. Capital, no. The question is, think about it. How did we know about all these things that God has done? When we were working in sin before we met him, we had no clue. But when we came to the realization, and our eyes opened, now we know all that he has done. Then our life should be to the praise of him. That we want to do everything to praise and worship and honor this God who has done all of these for me. That should be the reaction. It's like, oh God, thank you. Oh, I thank God. Oh, if I look where I was going before and before now, come on. I just say, Lord, what a wonderful God you are that you love me. And you've done all of this, and you brought this, me to that realization. My eyes, my heart, inner heart open to see, to know, to see the difference, to know these wonderful secrets. Oh, Lord, I just want to live a life that just honors him, that praises him, that just blesses his name. And that should be our reaction. No, well, God is sorted out. No. And then adoption speaks of belonging. It means we are wanted. It means we are accepted. Because when you want to adopt, I don't know, there might be people here that probably adopt kids. You your decision. You decided, I want that child. I want him to be a part of my family. I want to adopt him or her. So it means you want, want that child. And that's what adoption means. It means God wants you. That's why he's adopted you into his family. We are now legal joint heirs with Christ. Can you believe that? Brothers and sisters to Christ. Amazing. We now have what we did not work for, what we did not deserve, but for his glorious grace, we just thinking about should, like I said, produce in us an outburst of praise. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we just worship and honor them, honor him. So Paul was saying to us in that verse 5 to 6, it says, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Praise of his glorious grace. Every time we think about God, what God has done should produce in us an outburst of praise. Okay, the other thing to talk about is we are redeemed and we are forgiven. Redemption is a very good word. God redeemed us and we have been forgiven. We have been bought back. Which means prior to us being redeemed, we were slaves. Slaves to sin. So God bought us back. That's redemption. In the Old Testament, you see people that have inheritance. The inheritance given to them, to their forefathers, which is a piece of land, if you read through the Old Testament. And it might get a time where somebody gets into poverty, where they haven't got enough, and they want to sell off that land. Or some might be that bad that they can actually sell off themselves to someone to become their servant, their slave, so that they can always feed them, and then you might see a family, a relative comes along every now and then that comes to serve as a redeemer. And they would pay the debt that person owe to get them back. Or in the case of a land, put their hand in the pocket to get money and purchase the land back for the person. You see that throughout the Old Testament. But here, Paul is letting us know that God, Jesus, through Jesus Christ, because we were lost, we were slaves to sin, Jesus Christ came to pay. In our case, slightly different. Because the only currency that could be paid for us was his blood. Unfortunately, there's no amount of money in the world that could have done it. There's nobody else that could have done it. But he came and he paid his own blood to purchase us back from slavery to sin, and made us citizens of heaven. Now, why won't we praise and worship this God? Remember, there was no other person qualified to have paid for us. Nothing else could have paid. Any other person, any other blood was a sinful blood. It couldn't have paid. But the only blood that was without sin was Christ. And that was the only one. And he did that for us. To redeem us back to God. Away from sin. So that we can live a free life. That's why I said, I've come that you may have life. I'll have it to the full. So we have been redeemed. Bought by the blood of Jesus. The only legal and acceptable currency for that redemption. So we are freed from any guilt. I don't know if somebody might have some guilt, but what I did, that is what it means. You didn't pay for it. Like I said in the Old Testament, the guy that the land gave bought by, he didn't pay for it, but the relative and gave it to him. And that's what Christ has done. But that price is expensive. Even though we didn't pay for it, he took his own blood to get it paid for. So Why would you be guilty of anything anymore when God has done it for you? No guilt in life. No more. Christ has done it all. As his body, as his church, that's what we can stand boldly as a church of God and say and do the things that we're called to. Because Christ has redeemed us. He's paid away with any guilt, any shame. We are no longer under the power of sin. Rather, we're under the power of the Holy Spirit that can lead us to come and share and bring word and declare things to come. And God gives us prophecy and people come and talk about what, because now we are in relationship with him. Amazing. Another word that was used there is lavish. God, he said, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Verse 8. That he lavished on us. I love that. It's such a rich word to lavish on somebody. It means God doesn't give us what we need. He gives us much more than we need. He doesn't give us what we deserve. Oh, no, no, no. If he gives us what we deserve, we'll be in trouble. He gives us much more. That's the lavish grace of God. I know sometimes we go through two things in life and we say, where is God in this? I know sometimes it feels that way. But I think the right question should be, where am I with God? Have I drifted away? Or do I really understand what God has done for me? Because sometimes we go through trials, and sometimes God used those trials to do things. But if we truly understand what Christ is, even when we go through the trials, we'll be at peace, like Paul most of the time was while he was going through his trials. We'll be at peace. We'll be full of joy. Because while we know we are in Christ, we have God on our side. Therefore, who can be against us? Whatever it is. I know we go through, that's part of life, and it's part of Christianity. But in it all, we should be at peace because of the understanding that we have in Christ. No guilt. Amen. Amen. So truly understanding, therefore we live a life of no condemnation, no fear. We walk rather in gratitude and in grace. Also, God has a purpose and a plan for us. Verse 9. It says, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. Okay. I'm running out of time now, I think. According to his good pleasure, which he has proposed in Christ to put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on the earth under Christ. Can I ask a question? How does it feel to be in on a secret? It feels great. It's an honored position because you know what others don't know. But God is saying here that is we are in on that secret, his plan, which is now revealing to us. And his plan is to bring everything under the authority of Christ, to unite everything back together, which is a reversal of what happened in the Garden of Eden, where everything was separated from God. Man against man against God. So it was, but God is saying his plan, which he has started to actually carry out. We are part of that. Look at us. Different background, different languages, different color. That is what God's plan is. To bring everything in unity under him. But he's revealing that to us, and we are. So we're not done yet. It's still working out. We're going to get there, but he started to do the work already. It says in John, so in Revelation 7:9, it says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. That is the plan of God. He's going to be everyone united. No more, everyone at peace with one another. Okay, we're also marked and sealed by the Holy Spirit. And that verse says, In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, which is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance unto the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. There's that word again, predestined. You see, predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. But I like verse 13 that explains it for us. I said, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed. So God has predestined that you will hear. And that's why I said this world won't come to an end until everybody has been given the opportunity to. Because that's God's plan, for everybody to make that decision. But we've got a will of our own. We can accept it or decide not to. So it's the minute you now accept, you then realize. And that's what that verse 13 is talking about. If you read it, it said, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed. So until you then believe, that's when you then receive the mark. Once you put your faith in Christ, then the mark, the seal of the Holy Spirit. But once included, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's guarantee that his promise, that what he has started in us, he will complete it. He's saying, for you to know that everything I've said is going to happen, I'll give you this seal. It's a bit like when you're buying a house and you put a deposit down, saying, I want that house, just to let you know I'm going to come back and buy that house. I'm not going to let that money go, that deposit. No, I'm not putting it for fun. But at least it shows that interest that I am making sure I'm coming back to complete this. And so that is what this God has done. He's marked us and put a seal of the Holy Spirit, meaning we belong to him. If the band can please come up as we start to round up. So let's remember all that God has done for us. Understanding these truths, who we are in Christ Jesus, is what spurs us to do the things that we now want to do. The things that we'll do for God as Christians is from this understanding that it comes from. It is what affects the way we praise God. Because we now have this proper understanding, it should affect the way we praise God, the way we talk, the way we relate with people and relate to one another, because we know who we are in Christ Jesus. And I really pray that we grasp this. Because God has blessed us. God chose us. God forgave all of our sins. God redeemed us. That which was lost, God brought it back to us. And God sealed it with his Holy Spirit. That's why we have the Spirit of God inside of us. That's why our body now becomes the temple of the living God, because the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. God adopted us. Come on now. We have an inheritance. Heaven is our home. And we have access to it right now. And God has a plan. No matter what you're going through, he has a plan and a purpose. And he's working it out already. Like I said, he's already at work. So why don't we rise to our feet? We're going to praise God for a few minutes. Just with this understanding of all God has done for us. Let's worship him. Let's praise him. Let's thank him for all that he has done for us. Amen.